Let us begin. Today, let us review. Let us review today the Yisoidos, a Chazara of the Yisoidos of Asara B'Teves. Really, more specifically, not Asara B'Teves, I don't know if we'll get there even that far. There are three fast days that are coming up in succession. The 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. We are really supposed to fast 3 days in a row. The 8th day of Teves, the 9th day of Teves, and the 10th day of Teves. These days are recorded in Shulchan Aruch. They are known as the Tanios Tzadikim, the fast days of the righteous. I assume everyone here is a tzaddik, which means everyone's going to fast here 3 days. Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. Sunday is Asara B'Teves. Now why, what happened on these 3 days? So Megillas Tainis, Perek Gimel, it brings down that on the 8th day of Teves is a tragedy which occurred after the time of the Chanukah miracle. That was, what was the tragedy? The Talmai HaMelech, he was one of the Greek kings, time of the Yevanim. I am assuming this took place after the Chanukah miracle. I'm assuming it was after the Chanukah miracle. He flexed his muscles. He unfortunately imposed gezeros and klal Yisrael, and it came to a point where he gathered 72 of the greatest talmidei chachamim. He put them in separate rooms, 72 different rooms, and he demanded that they translate the Torah into Greek, and they did so. It was a nes. The nes was that they all agreed to make some minor changes. How many changes do they make? It says here in the Chazal, Kines Shivim Mushtaim Zekenim Vichnisam Lashiv Mushtaim Batim, the Legil Lochem Al Makinsam. He did not tell them why he's putting them in the rooms. Vinichnas Eitzel Kolechav Yechav Amalchem Kisfuli Teras Meisher Abchem. Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Belev Kol Echad the Eitzel Vihiskimu Kulam Lede Achas. And they all made Shinuyim. How many Shinuyim? I have here many of the Shinuyim. Bereshis Boro Elokim. They change it to Elohim Bara Bereshis. It says the word Arneves in the Torah. They change Arneves to a short-legged creature because Talmai's wife was named Arneves. Instead of Nasa Adam, they wrote Ese Adam. Instead of Bitsalmenu Kid Musenu, they said Bitselmu Vidmus. Instead of Ayachalukim Bayom Hashishi, they wrote Bayom Hashvi. Zachor Nekeva Bira'o instead of Bira'o Sam. All these things that first they should not make a mistake and think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechal Shabbos. He worked on Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he consulted with the Malachim. The Malachim also participated in the creation, which is not true. All of the things which Chazal tells us were done for a reason to teach us a lesson. He knew that Talmai and the Yevanim would not understand, appreciate the depth of these messages. So therefore, they had no choice but to make these minor changes in order that there should not be any misunderstanding. When they succeeded in translating the Torah into Greek, and each one of the 72 Talmidei Chacham, their translation was identical, a cloud of darkness descended upon the world for 3 days. This event, Chazal, and this is very important, Chazal viewed this event equal to the Chet HaEgel. That's a very heavy statement to make. Let me read the words over here. Let me explain. The im ki akol ro ba'osah hayom as gam as maseh Hashem ki noruhu. This was a miracle. You know, everyone knows. It's one of the most famous jokes from Rav Chutner Zatzal. Is that it was a miracle? What happened? He put the 72. It wasn't such a great miracle because he put 72 zikanim in 72 different rooms. And each one of them did not know from their fellow. Each one of them wrote a translation that happened to be identical to what their friend wrote. It would have been a much, much greater miracle, infinitely greater miracle, if he put the 72 Zekanim in the same room, and they would all agree to one translation. That would have been the real deal. But even the Ribbono Shel Olam couldn't do that. Chas v'shalom. Hayad Hashem tiksa. We all can relate to such an idea. But this is what it says in the Chazal. Now, even though it was an incredibly great miracle that has such a kinoiruhu, And I hear these are very powerful words. Wow, that's a very heavy statement. That's what it says in Megillas Chachamim. It goes on to quote more from Megillas Tainus. Now the question is, my inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. What is the translation of the Torah? Why is it so tragic, like the Chay to Egel? So the way he explains it here in the Moedim L'Simcha, he cites a source. It says just like when they worship the Egel. Did the Egel have any true value? Was there any power in the Egel? Did the Egel have any authority? Could it do anything for you? It's nonsense. It's hope in something. People believed in something that was meaningless, that had absolutely zero value. The same thing. When the Goyim had now in their hands a translation of the Torah, they thought, oh, we now know what it says in the Torah. We are masters of the knowledge of the Torah. We know the Bible. We got it. We understand it. We're going to go with it. They know nothing. Nothing. The translation of the Torah from Lashon HaKodesh into Greek, it's zero. How can you possibly translate the Torah? Every word of Torah is filled with infinite layers of interpretation.
Should they have refused doing it?
What?
Should they have refused?
It seems like they couldn't. It seems like, I don't, good question.
But to know if they couldn't.
Maybe the understanding was that they're not going to do it, someone else will do it. And they're not going to be loyal to the translator. That was the argument that we when we translated Art Scroll. What was the whole thing Art Scroll? For us, it's not an issue. We have Art Scroll, we have Mesifta, which is, we have all these translations. But when they first started translating the Gemara, even Sinsino, what were people arguing? Their argument is you're going to dilute a similar argument. You're diluting the richness of the Talmud or anything that you have in a translation. The ikur gets lost, the flavor gets lost in the translation.
Yeah,
so what was the counter-argument? The counter-argument was, you're 100% right. No one's coming to deny the fact that you translate Talmud into English, no matter how good you are, no matter how truthful you are to tradition, and no matter how great a Talmud Chacham you are, you're going to dilute the richness. Of course, no one's... But if we're not going to do it, someone else is going to do it. There's no question. There are millions of people out there that are looking to make a few dollars. And they're going to do it. And they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it the right way. They're going to distort. They're going to corrupt what it's all about. So we have an opportunity to do it with the best Talmidei Chacham that are available in a way that will give it some meaning, some life. So of course... Adarabba Yushlu. So perhaps that was the argument. The world was coming to a point, I'm just suggesting, is that they would take the Torah, Lashon Kodesh was not a secret. There are many people that know Lashon Kodesh. If the Talmidei Chachamim, the greatest of the great, are not going to translate the Torah into Greek, other people will translate it into Greek. And you could imagine the Chorban that will come from that. They'll distort, they'll mistranslate, they'll misunderstand even the Pshuta Shel Mikra. So here at least the Talmidei Chachamim will preserve the integrity of the Torah in their translation. Yet, the Greeks, the Yavanim, and the rest of the world are fools to think that the Torah does not contain an infinite number of layers of interpretation, every single dot, every single kites. They think this is it. It's we got it all. We'll read it from beginning to end. We'll take an exam. We'll get a degree. And now we're going to be Bible experts. This is equivalent to worshipping the eagle. Just like if you take a piece of metal and you bow down to it, you're a fool. This piece of metal cannot do anything for you. It's a nothing. Taking a translation of Greek of the Torah and reading it and being tested on it and getting a degree, you're a fool. You think you know the Torah, you know nothing. You know nothing, you don't even know the translation, just reading the words. The Torah's depth and chokhmah and kedusha is infinite. This is how he explains the equivalence between the eagle and translation into Greek. A translation is nothing relative to what the essence of the Torah truly is. 3 days of darkness. Now to commemorate these 3 days of darkness, basically was kol ha'poishet yad neistim lo. Until this point in time, there was a certain awe, a reverence. The Torah is kodesh. It's off limits. There was a fellow who's down in Chaim Berlin. When I knew him, Baruch Hashem, he's still, as far as I know, he's still well. He must be Kanai Nahara over 100 years old by now. in Florida. So I knew him probably when he was about in his upper 80s, and he used to tell me that when he wasn't very firm, he wasn't very religious. I mean, he was Shomer Shabbos. I think he was pretty much Shomer Shabbos, but he did not grow up in a Torah home and Torah background. But his grandmother, his grandparents were Erlucha people, Shomer Shabbos, and he used to always tell them that his grandmother used to always tell him, Marvin, why don't you become a rabbi? Why don't you study to become a rabbi? And he would say to me, my grandmother said, become a rabbi. I said to myself, me, rabbi? And he meant, not like today, like we all talk today, yeah, me. He meant it seriously. A rabbi. You know what a rabbi is? The holiness, the kedusha, the intellectual maturity, what it means to be a rabbi. I'm not holding by being a rabbi. It's not for me. I'm interested in girls. I'm interested in the movies. I'm interested in... I can't be a rabbi. It's not for me. And he says it's the old time. He says, now I'm 85 years old. I look around. I go to all the shuls here. And I look at all these rabbanim. And I see all the corruption. And I see the scandals. I see, oh, my grandmother was right. If I would have been a rabbi, I should have studied, I could have accomplished something for Klal Yisrael. I didn't need, I made a mistake because I thought too much of what a rabbi was. I was so naive. I was so sincere in believing what a rabbi really is. And it's a very, today, oh, I'll be right, today everyone, you know, we live in America, you can have whatever you want, anyone can be the president. Anyone can be the president, soon anyone can be the rabbi. Right? Allah has come. What?
The concept of a rabbi.
It was, they're held in esteem. They were held in esteem, exactly. So that's the same exact thing with the Torah. People, goyim, non-Jews, held the Torah HaKadosha in a certain degree of esteem. The Torah? Who am I even to read the Torah? Who am I to read a pasuk? Chas, I'll read a pasuk, I'll mistranslate it. I'm corrupting the holiness of the Torah. It's off limits. When the Torah was translated into English, it's like they put it online. Like, it's for free for all. It severely downgraded the sanctity, the reverence of how people looked at Torah. Torah, yeah, it's another course in college. Take a course in Bible. Big deal. It's just no big deal.
It's a holy club.
This zilzal, this degradation in the sanctity was a very great churban for the world, for Klal Yisrael, and therefore, 3 days of darkness descended to the world. This took place on the 8th day, a Friday, Mir Tashem Friday. That's the anniversary of when this event took place, and therefore it is a Yoim Tzoyim. Tzadikim fast on this day. I don't know anyone that fasts, maybe people fast, but supposedly the people do fast on this day. Okay, now what happened on the 9th day of Teves? Ooh, this is the big mystery. What happened on the 9th day of Teves? So here he presents, we did a lot of stuff last year, the year before, Chaza, maybe a few little bits and pieces here and there. What happened, he gives over here 7 different possible events that took place on the 9th day. It does not say in Megillas Tainus what happened. Just says the 9th day you fast. It doesn't say anything. Shulchan Aruch, in the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch writes, we don't know. It says in Megillas Tainus to fast. V'loy noida. I don't know what happened. I don't remember the exact words. We do not know what happened on this day. On this day, it's unknown to us. But yet we have a tradition to fast. Now, many of the Taz, the Magen Avraham, says, "What do you mean not to know?" It's explicit in the Slichos. Now, obviously, the Beis Yosef did not know had a different version of Slichos. There are many piyutim in the Slichos, and the piyutim that the Beis Yosef had are not the same that the Magen Avraham and the Taz had. And the Slichos that we recite on the Sar B'Teves mentions that on the 9th day of Teves, Ezra HaSoifer was Nifta. It was the Yartzeit. It's the Petira. So the question is, why should we observe the Petira of Ezra HaSoifer? That's Shakasha. We observe Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira, Zayin Adar. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Petira of Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Nisan is the Petira of that's Miriam
Bnei Aaron
Rosh Chodesh Nisan Bnei Aaron some fast Rosh Chodesh Nisan Rosh Chodesh Av is the Petira of Aaron HaKoyen. the ninth day of Nisan, if I'm not mistaken, is the yard site of Miriam. If I'm not mistaken. No, that can't be because that's maybe of okay, I don't remember. There are different days. He has over here. I don't know. I have to mishul the pages over here. I'm taking all the pages. But basically, there are many days in the calendar that we do observe the yard sites of people of Gedolei Yisrael, namely Moshe Rabbeinu. Ezra, Chazal compare Ezra to Moshe. They were two halves of one whole. We learned to say for Ezra, there are major similarities between Moshe Rabbeinu and Ezra HaSofer, and therefore it is worthy to observe his yard site. Furthermore, some say that it wasn't only Hashkocha prophets, it wasn't only that he died on that day. Some say that Nehemiah, Hashkocha prophecy, also died on the ninth day of Teves. And some say that Chagai, Zechariah, or Malachi died on the ninth day of Teves. Hashkocha prophecy, they all died on that day. And therefore, someone who extrapolate from this is that the real significance of the ninth day of Teves is it is the day of the year, it's very important, when Nevuah stopped. It's a very scary concept. The common denominator of Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, who are the last three. This is new. I didn't say this last year. This is new to me. I saw this year. The last significance of Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Nehemiah wasn't a Navi. Ezra was. But maybe Nehemiah was. I mean, the other way around. Maybe Nehemiah was. Not, but the significance of these three, of these people, these five people coming to it on this day, Pascha Nevuah mi Yisrael. And that's a major tragedy. It's a major tragedy where our connection, our line of communication between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Pasak. It's a very frightening thing. So this is a very popular approach to explain why we fast on the ninth day of Teves. Next reason. Now Shneur Lyman, he really rejects, he thoroughly rejects, but the side over here, and he brings from that side, so I'll tell it to you, is that there's a tradition, there's a legend, true or not, probably not, that Yoshka was born on the ninth day of Yeshu Hanotri, was born, this thing they call the Immaculate Conception, this whole nonsense, this whole Meshugas. It happened on the ninth day of Teves, December 25th. It wasn't December 25th then, I don't know when it was.
January 6th.
Whatever it was. And that time, when did he live? There's at least more than one Yoshka, we know that. There are two of them at least, maybe there are even three, some say. Who Chazal attribute to being who we call Yeshu HaNotri. Who is Yeshu HaNotri? How did Christianity start? It evolved over hundreds of years. It's not it didn't happen overnight. Very complex way it evolved. But somehow part of the process of Christianity, which brought the Klal Yisrael untold tzaras, Tsar, the Churban, not to be believed how much blood was spilled because of Christianity, is on test Teves. And therefore, we observe it as a Yom Tzom, a very great Churban, a very great Tsar came to this world. Another very popular event that is cited by many of the Mepharshim is we're not all familiar with this, but approximately 950 years ago, there was a community called Grodno. Grodno, I'm not pronouncing it right. And the leader of the Grodno was Rav Yehosaf Halevi, who was the son, so it was exactly 960 years ago. He was the son of Rav Shmuel Hanogid. Okay, Rav Shmuel Hanogid was the leader in this community, and the community was called, like I told you, not sure pronouncing it right, Grodno. Gimel Reish Nun Aleph Dalet Hey. Gurundi? I don't even know.
Gurundi,
I don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. In Spain? This is in Spain? In Spain? If that's the same place. Okay, if that's the same place, it was 960 years ago. There was a thriving community. A thriving community that was headed by a very great person called Rabbi Shmuel Hanogid. He was a person that was larger than life. A very wealthy person, a magnificent Talmud Chacham, a very generous person. He had every milah you can possibly imagine. He had a son. His son was Rabbi Yosef, who was almost as good as his father. It appears that he suffered from a lack of humility. That's what it says. He was a Talmud Chacham, he was a wealthy person, he was very generous, but he didn't get along with the local politicians, with the Goyim, his counterparts in the society, And one thing led to another.
Hanogid was actually an advisor to the king.
So because so this is his son. His son somehow was close, but not 100%. And that last part that was not 100% led to trouble, which over the years led to a pogrom, when they wiped out the entire city. It was a tragedy that's beyond our understanding. It doesn't seem like we have much record. There's not much of a record of exactly what happened. Even the Crusades, we don't know all that much. And a lot of what we know comes from secular sources. But whatever it is, it was a tragedy that was beyond imagine when they wiped out the entire city together with Rabbi Yehoshaphat Halevi, the son of Shmuel HaNogid, and Chazal instituted that the ninth day of Teves should be observed as a Yom Tzom to commemorate this tragedy. Interesting, there are a lot of days in the year where we observe tragedies. We don't observe a day for the Holocaust. No, we don't observe a day for the Holocaust. And a lot of the people, they say, they bring the Kairos, look, they did observe days of observance of tragedies, like this day, Chav Sivan, and other things. But over here, this, and there's a problem with this. There's a very big problem with this approach, because this day is recorded in Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis was written hundreds of years before the event of Rav Yehoshaphat Halevi, the son of Shmuel HaNogid. Hundreds of years. So how can you go tell me that the way reason why we observe the ninth day in Shulchan Aruch is because of this event? It's not because of this event. So the answer is no. That it was Ruach HaKodesh in the Megillas, what it says, in the Megillas Tainis, they knew all people, Ruach HaKodesh, this would happen. It's like you read Sefer Daniel, you can see the Holocaust. The Pesukim, you know, Daniel. You can mamish read the Holocaust in Sefer Daniel. It's explicit. Mamish explicit. They saw this coming, Piruach HaKodesh, and that's why they decided the ninth day of Teves should be observed as a Yom Tzom, basically Al Shem HaAsid. That's what it says. All right, then there's another time.
As far as the Holocaust, a lot of Sparim say that's Tisha B'Av.
Tisha, right. That's a matter. That's a matter. The Gedolei Yisrael said because we are not able to establish a day, we have to take Tisha B'Av. That's a little right. So it's in the kinos. It's the kinos. We never talk. But I guess in those days.
And by the way, about the Crusades, you also have in the kinos. Right, we have a few kinos.
We say it on. But there are also some private communities that said kinos for the Crusades on the dates. All right, that's another topic. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is a very popular idea. Rabbi Schneur Lamin, he made this popular. It was the day, I believe this was referring over here, the day, I used to know this much better, all the names of all the popes and the cardinals in the history of Christianity, but his name was Shimon HaKalfas. Shimon HaKalfas. Shimon HaKalfas was one of the founders of Christianity.
Saul.
Okay, there were a lot of Peters, and there were all
Peter Paul Marys.
There's a whole cast of characters. Okay, there's a cast of characters. A lot of the history has been distorted, has been deleted by the Christians themselves, not to reveal the truth exactly how it all evolved, what happened. But we have a tradition. There is some tradition is that Christianity was basically a fringe element of extreme orthodoxy. Right? It was an orthodox group. You couldn't tell the difference. They wore tefillin, they observed Shabbos. It was all the same. You couldn't, but they had these strange beliefs. If you want to go, you press them, you ask some questions, some tough questions, and they'll tell you some strange things. And the Tannaim who lived when this was all happening were frightened. It shook them up to the core. They saw a Zeh Chacham Haroya Es HaNoilad. They saw groups in Klal Yisrael who looked like Orthodox Jews who wore tefillin and observed Shabbos and Mitzvahs. They were perhaps even more meticulous in the Shmiras HaMitzvahs than the average people, but they were a little off. They were a little off in their Hashgacha. And they saw these people were a threat to Klal Yisrael. Ultimately, years down, hundreds of years down, would destroy Klausel with a Kruma Hashkafa. So there was a Tana, could be it was Shimon HaKalfus, or maybe someone else, and he basically sacrificed himself. Basically, with this, the legend is that the Tanoim, they all got together and they said, one of us has to go and take, not only spy, to take these people, has to take these people and basically drag them away. take them, drag them away, and separate them from Torah true Jewry, from tradition. And the way you have to do this by basically making a new religion, because otherwise, and
some books written that said that's what Paul
did. Yeah, that was Paul.
Oh, some say it was Paul. So he writes his Shimon HaKalfus. So he did this. He basically he created Christianity. He influenced them to not observe to make Shabbos on Sunday. Not to do certain mitzvos. There's a lot of. You can find this online. You can read about this. He did. He took all of these people, and even though it seemed that this was a kofer, he was really a Tana in disguise. He was a Tana in disguise.
Some said that he wrote Nishmas.
The one who did very fascinating. He wrote. He did this in disguise in order to save Klal Yisrael, but basically had to sacrifice himself. He had to basically join this group and secretly make believe he's part of them. And the Tanoim said that for your sacrifice, you will be remembered forever. It was a Hayro Ashah.
He insisted that on being Moshe Nefesh, I want that you...
Memory on my yard site, on the day that I die. And he died on, his yard site is Tes Teves, and therefore we observe his yard site is a Yom Tzom in his honor, because if not for him, there wouldn't be us. We wouldn't exist today. He saved Klal Yisrael through his self-sacrifice. It's hard for us to imagine. It's impossible for us to imagine. We live in a crazy world today with internet and cell phones and texting. We don't even know what it was like. It was a different world. And we can't imagine what it was like. But if not for him, there would not be a Klal Yisrael today. And therefore, in his honor, we observe his Yahrzeit Tes Teves. And that explains very simply why we not mefarsim it. That's why you're not going to find this in Shulchan Aruch. It's a day that you fast. Why? We're not telling you why. Because if the Goyim knew why we're fasting, we would be in a lot of trouble. I think we have trouble now. We have blood libels, pogroms. Oh, wait until they find out this. Then we're really finished. So therefore, it was held to be a very great secret. Okay, another time. This time, this is something new from this year. At least there's more of an elaboration over here. This is the ninth day. It says in the Megillah that Esther Hamalka was taken to Achashverosh on Chodesh Teves in the 10th month. On the fifth day of the month. It's pasuk in the Megillah. The Megillah says, we have the pasuk here, V'atilokach Esther el ha-melech achashverosh el beis malchusai, b'chodesh shuasri hu chodesh teves b'shnas sheva l'malchusa. It doesn't say what day. It does not say what day she was taken. It does not say. So first he brings down, some want to say, I don't know how you can know this, tradition. She was taken on the ninth day of Teves. That's a very big stretch. I mean, prove it. How do you know? Tradition? You have a legend? Okay. If we have a tradition, okay, we accept it. But it doesn't say this anywhere. You're not going to find a place for this. Others say, a little bit more is, the Perish Toisvis Chadoshim, what is that exactly? I'm not exactly sure. No, I'm jumping ahead, I'm sorry. Others say, she was taken on the fifth day. How do we know that? Okay, here's a different makar. This is very interesting. Now we're going to soon come to Asar B'Teves. We're going to do that tomorrow. But Asar B'Teves, we observe on the 10th day, the Torah, the Pasuk that tells us to observe a fast day on Teves, does not say what day of the month. It just says, Hatzoim Ho Asiri, the fast in the 10th month. So pick a day. What day do you want to fast? So the truth is there are only two significant days, two candidates to fast on the 10th month. The 10th, we just learned this only a few days ago, that was the day when Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Yerushalayim. Samach Melech Bavel al Yerushalayim. He was Samach, he laid siege. The other reason, the other candidate is, the fifth day of Teves was the day when the Goyim, the people in Bavel, it's a Feresh Apostle Gimelachim, Yecheskel, found out that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Remember, before the days of texting, email, cell phones, none of that. News did not travel very quickly. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, can you imagine, on Tisha B'Av. And it took from Tisha B'Av until the fifth day of Teves for them in Golos to find out. Now notice, we're going to be Kotzel HaKotzel. According to the first interpretation of the 10th day, this was 3 years in advance of the Churban. 3 years in advance of the Churban is when they laid siege. According to this interpretation, Machlis in the Gemara, the day that you're supposed to fast not went in advance, it's the Gemar, when it's completely over. Completely over means the walls were breached, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Gedaliah was murdered, and now they find out, the word is reported in Golos and Bavel that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The fifth day, halacha l'maaseh, so we accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We follow the 10th day when the siege began. We don't focus on the time when the report came to Yehoyachin in Golos that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Now, the Medrash, this is a Medrash. The Medrash says, the fifth day of Teves is a day that's Muchen L'Paranus. By the way, what's today's date? What's today's Hebrew date? Today's the 6th, so Baruch Hashem, we passed it. We fasted it. So yesterday was the fifth day. It's a Muchen L'Paranus. It was the day when bad news came to Klal Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Terrible day. They found out about this. Every year that reoccurs. On that day, the Medrash says, was the day when Esther was taken to Achashverosh. Since bad news happens on bad days, and since we know that this was the day when bad news came, so therefore when it says in the Megillah that Esther was taken to Achashverosh in the 10th month, doesn't say what day, the Medrash says it was the fifth day, goes further, because it was also the salvation. It's bad news, but on the day of bad news, Mashiach is born. The day when the bad news came to Klal Yisrael, the reenactment of the bad news, Golos Yoyachin, the bad news, on that very day, Hashem planted a seed of Geula. Esther HaMalka was taken to Achashverosh, which would ultimately lead to the Geula of Klal Yisrael and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Medrash says. Zeh l'umazeh. This day was a bad day for Klal Yisrael. The world found out the Mikdash was destroyed. So Hashem made it up. He allowed this day to be the day when Esther was planted in by the Melech Achashverosh, which would lead to our ultimate Geula, Dar Yavesh, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. No, not the same. Of course not. Not the same. Of course not. But it means the calendar date. It's a zman. It was a zman that had bad news. So Hashem made up this zman many years later. Not all that many years later. How many years later was it? But a couple of years later, Hashem made it up that Esther was taken to Achashverosh on that same calendar date. Now, here's the point. He wants to make things. This is what he goes on to say. She was taken on the fifth day. What does it say in the Megillah? How many days did she stay by the king? Every girl that went to the king only stayed one night, and they were dismissed. Every night, the man, Achashverosh, had an audience with a woman. Every night. And every night, when the night was over, he dismissed her. Don't come back unless I call you. Esther, he was, what's the word, infatuated with?
Enamored.
Smitten by Esther. She didn't go. He said, you're staying here. Another day. He kept her with him for 3 days. He's staying on the fifth day, so it was really, she was dead night of the six, seven, eight. She was there for 3 days. Mordechai and the Sanhedrin were worried. You know, one day, okay, Dai Lecha, the Tzara, one day, it's over. One day. No, 3 days. 3 days, a chazak, that means we're in trouble. She's stuck there. If she's there 3 days, that's a chazaka. So they were goyzer, it says in the Medrash, I'm not making this up. On the eighth day, after they realized, six, seven, eight, 3 nights went by, the night of the sixth, night of the seventh, night of the eighth, she was there 3 nights, and she isn't coming home. So they said, we're in trouble now. She's stuck. Esther's stuck in the king. We're goyzer tomorrow. A yoim tzayim. That's what it says in the Medrash. She was taken on the fifth day because of this whole thing that we explained of what happened on the fifth day. She was there six, seven, eight. On eight, they said that we don't like what's going on. And some 9th day was the tzara of Klal Yisrael. It's an eighth tzara. One of our own has been abducted by the sheikhs, by Achashverosh, and we have to have a yom tzayim. That's another time. I think that there's only one more reason. Last reason is, I told you all the reasons, last reason is that really it's a build-in to the 10th day of Teves. The 10th day of Teves is the siege. The siege began. The siege began on the 10th day. But the hachonah for the siege began on the 9th day. In other words, just like Yom Kippur. When do you observe Yom Kippur? The 10th day. But the Pasuk says, observe Yom Kippur on the 9th day. On the 9th day, right? The 9th day in the evening. On the 9th in the evening. Why? Because the last 6 hours of the day is really like the hachana. It's the lead-in. In fact, it's even more severe. It's more severe than the actual day itself. So someone suggests that the 9th day is not a day that's independent. It's an extension of the 10th day. Of the siege was on the 10th day, but the hachana was already on the 9th day. So, sach hakol, we have 7 reasons. Number 1, Ezra HaSofer was nifter. Number 2, Nechemi was nifter. That really includes Chagai Ishar Malachi, which we explained represents the end of Nevuah. The Harigas, Rav Yehoisef HaLevi HaNagid, and the entire community of Gerodna. Shimon HaKalfois, that was the beginning of Christianity, the story. Esther was taken to Achashverosh. Yoshka somehow may have been born on this day. The Puranis of Asar B'Teves really began in advance. And what else? I say other things, maybe some other reasons, but that's basically it. So tomorrow we'll discuss Asar B'Teves.